Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A reporter asked Nick Sirianni last night if this game on Sunday was a must win.
Yeah.
Where do we find these people?
That was bad. Not gonna lie. That was really bad.
There was no news on the Philadelphia side last night. Zero. And there were two tidbits on the Kansas City side. Snead and Tony are a go for the game. That's it. There's your news. And you watched this.
I watched most of it, yes.
Why?
Because my team's in it. I mean, I watch it either way, but I am especially watching because my team's in it.
And what did you learn?
I mean, other than the two tidbits about the Chiefs, not much else. But there were some cool moments. I thought Andy Reid's hug with Brandon Graham and the rest of the Eagles that he drafted in 2012 before he got fired, I thought was a really nice moment. And I think everything with the Kelce brothers and their mom bringing them the cookies, I thought that was just the funniest thing ever.
That's just nice. All right.
So there were some fun things. There were some fun moments last night.
Okay, the head scrape. Wow. Okay. Anything about the Snead and Tony thing was actually about the game. And your whole thing is about cookies.
You're supposed to mix it up a little bit. Now, you're not. Do I want to see people asking dumb questions like, is this a must-win game? No. But it's fun to mix it up a little bit.
Okay. So let me recap. Was it 3 hours?
Last night? I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing happened. Okay. So that's 3 hours of your life you're never going to get back.
I watched from the beginning and all the Eagles' full hour at the podiums, and then I watched when the two teams were together on the stage, and that was about it after that. I didn't really watch much of the Chiefs' time at the podium.
Oh, it's too bad. That's where all the news was made. All right, so is this a must-win? No, not really.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, that reporter should have his credentials revoked. No question there.
Where do we find these people? Yikes. Maybe when Peter King's on tomorrow, I'll ask him if it's a must-win. Wow. That's why you're just so glad you're sitting in the booth, sometimes separated from some of this stuff. Wow. That's quite remarkable. Okay. So let's get to a couple of notes for you. Obviously, the Jalen Hurts contract thing is going to come up. At some point, they do have to pay him. I mean, there's no getting around it. They're going to have to do it. Once they do pay him, it will then probably change the dynamics of the team, only because of now the cap is going to be higher than ever next year. I think it goes to 224 next year.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, but it still changes the dynamics of everything as to who you can pay, how much you can pay them, and how many years you can pay them. And that's, you know, because you lock your quarterback up, which, by the way, is a must. This is not something that, when you look at Kansas City, Kansas City had to lock up Patrick Mahomes. They did. The Eagles need to lock up Jalen Hurts. They will. But it is going to then change the flexibility. I mean, why do you think the Chiefs ended up trading Tyreek Hill? I mean, what, do you think Brett Veach wanted to trade Tyreek Hill? Like, there was a big issue with trading Tyreek Hill? No, he had to trade Tyreek Hill because he needed the flexibility to do it. And then he replaced Tyreek Hill with Valdez-Scantling, Smith-Schuster. Then they finally brought in Kadarius Toney in midseason from the Giants. But that's how they ended up replacing the production of Tyreek Hill. You notice how different Kansas City is as a team now. Kansas City was usually one of the top three or four teams in the NFL on shots down the field and hitting shots down the field. This year, I believe they hit one shot down the field. Everything else has been in the mid. Their bigger plays have been in the mid-range, but not the air it out and here we go. Kansas City changed its attack this year because they no longer had Tyreek Hill, and Hardman, of course, was hurt as well, but Hardman's not in the same category as Hill is. So they had to change their attack because of financial circumstances. They had to trade Tyreek Hill, not because Kansas City's hurting for money, but because they were hurting against the cap. This will be something that Howie Roseman will eventually have to deal with. Now, the plus is he's got A.J. Brown locked up already with two more years to go in his contract. Devontae Smith is still on his rookie contract. That really helps. Question will be, what do you do with Miles Sanders? And will this be Kelsey's last game at center? And then there'll be, how do you deal with a couple of guys on defense that it may be their time to get paid as well, but you may have to maybe not keep everybody because the quarterback has to get paid. And again, Jalen Hurts needs to get paid. He is the long-term future of the Philadelphia Eagles. He is the face of the franchise. So that's not the issue here. Not the issue. And Nick Sirianni says he's still mad at Andy Reid. I always love how that he fired him. He did not fire him. Okay? He didn't fire him. He came in and didn't retain him. That's different. Because he never worked for Andy. Andy just didn't retain guys. He brought in his own people. I always love that. He fired him. And no, he actually didn't fire him. No. Fuel. It's all about fuel. It's the Super Bowl. I didn't know you needed fuel. Wow. Wonder if Scott Fransky needed fuel to do the World Series. I don't think so. I always find this stuff bordering on the absurd. I needed that to get going. You're playing in the Super Bowl. You're playing in the World Series. You're playing in the NBA Finals. You need motivation? Wow. You're much weaker mentally than I thought you were. By the way, Marcus Hagans met with the media today. And a close personal friend. Now, we knew this before, but he talked about it today. Who knows? You might see Allen Iverson at some Penn State games now.
Oh, my almighty!
How about that?
That would be fun.
You'd criticize it. So what is your rant of the day? We might as well do that first.
Rant. I would say if anybody took...
The show is almost over.
I haven't seen this yet, but I would have it be with anybody who didn't realize that Nick Sirianni was kidding last night when he said that he wants Eagle fans to boo and throw snowballs at Santa Claus. Because clearly he was joking.
I think he's speaking to the choir. They also threw snowballs at Jimmy Johnson.
Okay, well, that's different.
You know who participated in that?
No,
the
who?
Jimmy Johnson, the Jimmy Johnson one? Ed Rendell.
That doesn't shock me.
Oh, no, no. Have you ever met him?
I've interviewed him one time when he was here at Susquehanna University speaking several years ago.
Yeah, I've not only had him on, obviously, on the air, but just had informal talks with him. Hey, look, he loves sports. He loves Philadelphia sports, right? They asked him one time, the Eagles and the Steelers were getting close, where the door was open, they might play in the Super Bowl against each other one year. And they said, what would you do as governor? Who would you root for? I said, I'm rooting for the Eagles. Hey, give him credit. You know, he's not going to bag his team. I'm a big Eagles fan. That's great. Yeah. So your coach gave the go-ahead to throw snowballs at Santa Claus. This is the guy you want to, as your leader of men?
He was joking, of course.
Are you sure?
Yes. 100%.
How could you tell?
Because of his body language and looking at the reporter. Whoever was that. I think it was Michael. I think he was talking to Michael Irvin on NFL Network last night.
So we've got another. So now we have an anti Santa Claus head coach.
No, he's not anti Santa Claus. He's got three little kids that love Santa Claus.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, who doesn't?
Philadelphia fans.
We still do, yes.
Are you sure? I mean, you just got the go-ahead. This could, this could look like an avalanche in December.
FOULED, that spells foul. Duh.
Nick said it was good. So I'm wrong. There was news out of the Philadelphia side last night. Coach gave the go-ahead to throw snowballs at Santa Claus. Wow. What kind of organization do you have there? That's Claus is, you know, is Christmas morning a total absolute delight?
Apparently we got a good organization according to Ernie Accorsi yesterday.
Well, now when this comes out, he's going to change his tune. Well, this is the... It's this year, next year. That's your window.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This year, next year. That's your window. Then after that, the window becomes a bit tenuous. Only because, A, it's hard to do it, and B, you're not going to have the same makeup of the team. I mean, they've had every single element that needed to be perfect in terms of roster acquisition has been perfect. You're not going to have that a couple of years from now. And let's face it, I know you love Howie. I know the whole thing. You know, he'll go out, he'll draft another Jalen Reagor. All right. And you guys will be like, oh, God, Howie.
He's done a great job into this year, but he's definitely got a lot of work to do this offseason. And we'll learn more.
Well, again, it's going to be about the how much money Hurts gets. What's it mean for the cap? The expanded cap, how much, you know, what percentage does he take of it? And then who can you retain after that?
Well, for me, I guess I'm more wary about him with drafting than I am with free agency and the cap and all that stuff. I have full confidence in him that he'll figure it out. The draft is what always concerns me with him. It was good last year. It was decent the year before because you got Devontae Smith. But now let's see what happens going forward.
I am still not big on Jordan Davis.
I just need to see more. It didn't help that he got hurt.
What did I predict he would not get with the Eagles?
A sack.
How many sacks did he have?
Yeah, you know, he didn't have any. Yeah, you had that right.
Ooh. You act like this is the first time. All right.
Next year, we'll learn a lot more of how good that pick was because he's definitely going to be called upon more to do more next year because Graham's a free agent, Cox is a free agent. I believe Hargrave's a free agent, too. Now, I think one of those three will come back, but still, Jordan, we'll learn more about Jordan Davis next year.
I'm not. It's not that I don't think he has great natural gifts. He does. There's no getting around it. But I just feel that in the NFL, where you've got to grind out play after play after play, that he's going to need either too many breaks or he'll run out of gas. That's just me. And it's not like he doesn't have natural gifts. He does. He does. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, Neil Kulong, in a moment. We'll talk about more about the Eagles. There's, you know, not a lot of news today out of the Penn State presser, although the freshmen did get a chance to talk with the media today, freshmen that are going to be next season sophomores. But, yeah. And today was the first winter workout. Let's see. Bo Prabula, Nicholas Singleton, Khalil Dinkins. Let's see. Who else? Tony Rojas. Zane Durant. I'm trying to think who the other winners were. Oh, Malik McLean, the transfer from Florida State at wide receiver, were among the winners. The small Caden Wallace was the offensive line. So, yeah. So that's one. I think there's seven or eight more of those to go. I will get to one probably next week, and then another one for the end of the month is out. So I'll end up going to two. How about that? I went to four last year. But A couple of the players said to me today, you going to go on Thursday? I said, well, I got a game at 8:30 tomorrow night. I said, I'll be off the air about, I don't know, 11:30 or so. They looked at me and said, you're not going to make it. I said, no. They said, neither would we. All right. Glad you could get that rant out of the way. And now we found out it's okay to pelt Santa with snowballs. The head coach said it's a go. What kind of organization is this? Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs hold Santa Claus in high regard. Their coach even looks like Santa. Just kidding.
He had that look one time when the Eagles had their run in 2008 to the NFC title game.
Yeah.
He did the playoff beard. That was legit.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, the Chiefs revere Santa Claus. There's respect.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I went back, checked the tape. He gave the thumbs up to the snowball thing.
Sure.
See, even you admit it.
Yeah, but he was joking.
Seemed deadpan serious to me. He is right, though, about living in a great sports town. Philadelphia is when you are winning, it is a great sports town. Great sports town. And this is a time that will be looked back on as one of the golden eras of Philadelphia sports, between what happened with the Phillies in the World Series and now this run by the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's how it's going to be looked at. No doubt in my mind. And not only that, they're exciting. Both teams are exciting in how they do it. Neil Coulong joins us. Neil, as always, Neil would never ask a question at the Super Bowl, is this a must-win?
the funniest thing about that is it's a bit, and nobody knows. It's probably maybe the popularity of the guy that's doing it, but he does it every year, and he has for a long time. The outrage of it is well worth the continuance of it, far less than the coach's reaction. It's really more of a bit against the media who are in attendance that take such things far too seriously. But would I have the cojones to do that? No. I wouldn't. I'm happy it's done, though.
There's a lot of dumb stuff that happens on Super Bowl Media Day. So, Nick Sirianni, the coach, second year, he was with Kansas City. And look, I completely understand where he's coming from with the Kansas City thing. He was not fired. He was not retained. There's a big difference. It still means you don't have a job. But his wife's from there. he was engaged to her at the time. Her family lives there. So I understand all of that. When you look at a guy like that who's been able to work his way to the position he's in, what do you see?
Honestly, for a head coach, I see at the NFL level a fairly typical path. I get why he has that edge. I kind of like that about him. I would probably be the same way. I don't know if it has a whole lot of validity, just considering it, you know, kind of to your point, too, that there is a difference at the NFL level between your contract not being renewed or extended or whatever you want to say to it and being terminated, as in your contract was ended early. It's a financial decision that an ownership group would have to make. And if they don't think enough of you to continue at all and they want to pay you to not be there, that's a much stronger statement than saying, you know what, thanks, we want to go in a different direction. We don't owe you anything. You don't owe us anything. Either way, he took whatever he got from that experience and made himself better. I don't think that's been a question since he's been in charge there. I can see where he is coming from, and I think his path, generally speaking, is one of innovation. For me, the thing I really like about Philadelphia, and I've been saying this since the offseason, you can see they're trying to win in a way that other people aren't. He really tried to embrace the idea that we don't have a prototypical quarterback, so we don't have to coach in a prototypical fashion. We have a very good quarterback, and we can coach him in a very logical manner, which really, to me, is what the NFL is today. And you and I have talked about this a bunch. The amount of cover two the teams are playing, it forces this. And I think Sirianni is just simply saying, look, we're going to do what they're letting us do, which is to say we don't have to add in all these things because we have a quarterback with this arm. We don't have to add in the complexity of it. We're going to put our quarterback in a couple different quick decisions. We're going to say, you've got this option if this guy is coming down. In other words, if your safety is attacking up front, you know you have one-on-one somewhere, go for it. Because we added a top 10 receiver talent from the draft, and we traded and then extended one of the best in the league. You've got two guys in there, along with a very talented all-around tight end. Make a play down the field if it's there. If it's not, though, this is your outlet option, or you can run. And that's all they do. It's not overly complex. And I think Sirianni is the right coach for that because perhaps, you know, he kind of sees himself as being overlooked. He wasn't somebody that was high on the list, whatever list it is and whatever worth that has every single year, of guys that teams wanted to bring in and install this high-octane offense with all this, you know, high-level arm talent required to run that. It's smart. It's efficient. It's very cost-effective, not for a whole lot longer, but they're doing right now what the league is letting them do, and I think that is the most important thing. They're capable of favorites in this game. They've been favorites for most of the season, and they have two first-round draft picks. So to be honest with you, a financial concern of theirs is even using both of those picks. They could trade it down for the next year and not have to stack them up just in this one season. And they've done that because of what they've built for themselves. And that's just simply using the talent that they have and not trying to force the square peg into the round hole. I think it's genius. And they're a fun team to watch. And I think win or lose this game, they're going to be back in high-level contention next year as well.
Oh, no. I think that they've got this great two-year window this year and next year. Now, after that, because of the way the salary cap works and the way contracts are, then I think at that point it's going to really test the skill of the organization as to how they work it out with the quarterback getting X amount and others as well. There's going to be one thing I like about Sirianni is that there's been a learning curve, and he understands the learning curve. And his college coach, he would put together all these plays and the whole thing, and he said, look, it's all about players, players, players. You've got to get the ball to your playmakers. That's what his college coach at Mountain Union told him, and they won a billion national championships there. When he went to the Colts, his college coach comes in, and he shows him the play sheet, and he goes, hey, what are all these 13s on here? And he said, well, that's T.Y. Hilton. That's our best receiver. He looked at him. He goes, very nice. That's how simplistic, Neil, it can be sometimes. The ability of a coach to not have to show everybody they're the genius in the room. They're smart enough to know who their playmakers are.
I agree 1,000,000%. And that's why I've enjoyed watching them. Because think of it like this, too. That the funniest paradox that exists here, and perhaps there are other reasons for this, but I'm not going to get into now, but people look down upon Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. Yet you've got a receiver with 1,500 yards and another one with 1,100 yards and a tight end who was actively involved when he was healthy. A strong running game that, yes, is spearheaded by the quarterback, but they have a guy with 800 yards rushing. They're just simply producing, yet Hurts is not a factor to this, and I don't understand why. They're efficient. They just gain. But more than anything, they will take the shot down the field when a defense gives it to them. Right. And to me, that's in the same philosophy that you just mentioned. Here's A.J. Brown with single coverage. Get him the ball.
Yep.
We don't need to overcomplicate this. It's right there. If he's even, he's leaving. Give him the ball. That's basic football. It doesn't seem to me, and I'm not in their coach's room breaking down exactly what they're doing, and I might be oversimplifying it too much, but I don't think they want to make it complicated for that very reason. And with that, too, you ever notice how few delay of game penalties they ever have? How few negative plays they ever have?
Exactly.
These
yep.
things are all, in my opinion, they are all part and parcel of a well-coached, well-coordinated offense. Flowed as well. The knock on Hurts is they give him the sense that, I should say his detractors give off the idea that he's just in this system, which really means I only complete 6-7 yard passes all day.
No.
And I can complete X amount of them. It's absolutely not the case. They hit right. on big plays often. I'm just talking about the Steelers game, which looked like the 4th of July as far as explosive plays go. They hit consistently down the field. Yes, they have a boatload of talented receivers at the receiver position, but that's exactly why they brought him in. They wanted to do this. These guys are hitting deep down the field. If you're there, we're going to get you the ball. We have confidence in our defense. We've put a lot of money into our defense as well. But our offense is going to be the tip of the spear of this team, which is really kind of the commonality of every successful team nowadays. They're able to manage what they have and what they can do. And to me, it's a lot of fun to know that that's what's going into this. And I'm not taking anything away from Kansas City that does run a little bit more complexity, but there is still a root in the simplified ability to get the ball down the field. It's an explosive plays game, and these are two teams that have built themselves up to have the option to make an explosive play down the field consistently. It's not the only thing they do, but they can do it, and they will. They're willing to take that risk, and they do it efficiently.
Conversely, let's go to Kansas City, a team that, when they had Tyreek Hill, led the league repeatedly in shots down the field. Now against that cover two and with Tyreek Hill in Miami, I think they only got, one shot this year. They have been a short to medium range passing team. They've been great with it. Why?
My opinion, it's to use this phrase again, it's part and parcel of what they saw coming in the NFL, which is why they traded Tyreek Hill. Now, it doesn't look all that great now, and I kind of was in favor of Kansas City winning that deal. It doesn't really look like that's the case now. You get a stable quarterback situation in Miami, and Tyreek Hill might have been the MVP. He was out of his mind for however long, but that's Tyreek Hill. He's proved to everybody, myself included, how much of a freak he is. What Kansas City was able to do in the pre-heavy modified cover two, which is what we see now, he was running like circus routes all over the field. He would drag guys 75 yards up and down the field and just exhaust them. And Mahomes was quick enough on his feet, and he could throw from so many different windows and so much arm talent. He's able to get him when he eventually would break open at some weird angle down the field. I don't think Kansas City wanted to bank $27 million over 4 years per for Hill when they could get back what they were being offered on the idea that will continue to work. Now, right or wrong, I don't know. Kansas City's in the Super Bowl. Miami didn't quite make it work out. It looked to me like both teams got quite a bit of value out of that deal. Kansas City, though, doesn't have that kind of playmaker. And, you know, I might argue that nobody but Miami does anymore. They aren't willing to risk that kind of a play, keeping their quarterback alive inside and outside the pocket for 6 seconds is a risk. You know, we've seen that up and down. It, more than anything, I think they're leaning on a guy that I think it's fair at this point to say is one of the three best tight ends in the history of the game, getting right. him the ball at reasonable distance, setting him up, and trying to play a little bit more possession than anything else. And I might argue some of that might be Reed's insistence that their offense isn't going to consistently score 31-plus points a game with what they have to do, and they still have to protect their defense. Now, while Chris Jones is, in my opinion, probably second or third defensive player of the year this year in a very competitive mm-hmm. vote at the top, any one of those guys can win it, and he would be a willing, or he would be a memorable winner of that award this year. His season is mm-hmm. unreal. I mean, he really played mm-hmm. at an outstanding level. They don't have like a ton else everywhere else, so I think.
Frank Clark's the other guy, obviously, and the fact yeah, they're close yeah. close to each other makes it a difficult matchup. Yeah,
they can make plays, and they have to make plays, and I think we saw that against Cincinnati as well. I don't think Cincinnati should have lost that game. I think that was really more on them, but Frank Clark came up big in a couple of minutes for them. It wasn't a game, though. They were going to score a bunch of points. They had to win more on defense than anything else. And I think turnovers were a concern. Certainly that was in the previous season's AFC Championship game. And Kansas City needs to find the big home run hitter, and I don't think they really felt that they had that just yet. They're trying to keep things shorter to try to maintain possession and be able to hit on something here and there, but try to take more of the game with the ball in their possession, not turn it over as much, and complete passes, get down the field at a very efficient rate in their own right. And to some degree, I think they were successful. This is also why Kansas City, you know, I don't think they lost against the spread almost most of their games this season.
Right, because
I don't have the number in front of me.
No doubt.
Everyone assumes that they're going to blow everybody out, and they don't, because that's not how they're playing anymore. They don't have Tyreek Hill.
And that was the case this year with Tampa Bay and Green Bay because of Brady and Rodgers. People don't realize, like, quote, against the spread, people that were kept overvaluing those two teams because of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, we put a lot into what quarterbacks used to do, and I think it brings out the argument of quarterback wins. You know, it's a very controversial statistic. The quarterback certainly has a lot into winning a game, but the manner in which they win it is something that's not discussed when it comes to quarterback wins. If you're going against the spread, you're going to need to take a look at that. I think that's a big reason why betting Kansas City betting against Kansas City this year was probably pretty beneficial for a lot of people. When they're favored by six and they consistently win by three in these tough, nail-biting games, it doesn't mean that Mahomes isn't any good. It just means that those opportunities are not being afforded to them as much as they were, and they're not taking advantage of what they do have enough. They're not hitting that over anymore. You know, and I think with Kansas City, you've got Mahomes at a high level. Look at him playing struggling, even when he's a little bit hurt, and then you go watch Tom Brady, you watch Aaron Rodgers right now. You can't argue, you know, nobody's arguing that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are not, you know, very well could be one and two all time. Nobody could really say that's absolutely not the case. But you can't watch them this season and expect them to return to what they were 5 years ago. It's not going to happen.
No.
They're not as physically strong anymore. That kind of natural talent is fading. You know, I'm their age. I get it. You know, I totally know where that is. I can't play pickup basketball. It doesn't work the way it used to. They're not going to improve. They're very smart. They can control a game mentally. They know what they're looking at. But it comes down to explosive plays. If you don't have the ability to get that to just rip it deep to a receiver that's open to you know, knock off 40, 50-yard chunk plays, your offense is not going to be as potent. And you can't really call that with Rodgers and Brady right now. They're going to tell you up and down that they can do it. You know, you heard Ben say that
sure.
to the end.
Of course.
You know, it's like,
I know.
You just can't, okay? Objectively, you just can't. It's not there consistently enough for me to feel confident in calling that all the time. Mahomes still has that for a long time yet, but you know, I don't know. I was just talking with people at work about this. I wouldn't even come close to trading much of anything for Aaron Rodgers
no,
right now. I just wouldn't.
No. I agree.
I don't think he's going to go for what the masses seem to think that he will either. For that very reason, and on top of that, you got to pay him what, like $50 million. No, thanks. I'm not rebuilding with Aaron Rodgers. He can't make a decision without the help of hallucinogens. I don't understand why I want to pay this guy, by far and away the highest total in the league, to come in for what could be not even half a season. I mean, we're watching his regression each and every game. It doesn't mean he can't be effective, but his value doesn't even come close to his price tag anymore, and that happens. That's the NFL.
Your price tag always worth it.
So, I wish. Yeah. People, you need to tell that too.
I will. As a matter of fact, my friend, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, SI.com. See, I mean, did you know the Nick Sirianni story about the play calling?
I did not. But it makes a lot of sense because he talked about that from day one.
I mean, I'm not an Eagles fan. Why do I know these things? I mean, come on. You're the Eagles fan. It's like every time I turn around, I feel like I'm surprising you. What's going on here? Are you sure you're a fan of the team?
I think so, yeah.
I'm starting to doubt it. We'll come back with I'll convince. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.